So I'm gonna give an update on what was done in Osmotio Rix for more or less last year, and why was it done. So some may remember around 1 year ago, we were in a situation in which we started adding more support for different technologies like 3G, or we started splitting the NITB. So we ended up having lots of different code that actually was not really maintainable because we had a really lack of testing. So in general, we thought, okay, we need to improve this situation. How? So we should add some unit testing, and then we should actually improve how we build stuff, so at least build test stuff to see everything's correct. And then also we started Osmos GSM Tester. And of course, one of the components that should be tested was Osmotio Rix. That's more in general. And then for Osmotio Rix specific stuff, we wanted to improve. So we wanted to add wider device support, basically because at that time, I think mostly we were only running with libuhd backend. But we were thinking about adding other libraries which were used for other devices. Other things we improved over that time, so basically there was no good documentation on Osmotio Rix. So we thought, okay, it's a good idea to make a user manual like we have for other Osmocon projects. And so some thing I found when I started looking into adding this kind of stuff to Osmotio Rix, it was basically difficult to develop or to operate or debug, basically, because it had no usual Osmocon component support. So that means basically using a libosmocore with a logging system of Osmocon, etc. So one of the ideas, at least for myself, to be able to develop easy and test and debug it easily, was to make it a first class Osmocon citizen. So at that point, basically, we started testing Osmotio Rix with Osmos GSM Tester, and that meant already adding some small new features which were required to run it inside Osmos GSM Tester. So for instance, we added a minus J param to be able to bind a specific address, because in Osmos GSM Tester, we assign one different address to each component, so we wanted to have everything really bound to some address. Why minus J? Well, at that time, I realized there were, like, I don't know, 20 different command line options for Osmotio Rix, and believe me, every time I had to find a new letter, it took me 5 minutes, because I had to really find out, okay, which letter can I use, and it's not taken already. That already made me think, okay, I should actually move that into a VTY configuration file, because it's not maintainable. So with the first test we did in Osmos GSM Tester, we also fixed some issues we saw. It's this kind of stuff when you run on your table doing some test, you don't care if it fails sometimes. But of course, if you're running that every few hours and you see some recurring failures, you want to fix them. So that's what we did. We fixed some stability issues we were finding with clock indications. We also, at that time, also some parameter was added, basically to be able to set the RT priority that went together with the fact that we were seeing these instabilities. So we thought, okay, maybe it's related to the real-time priority. And at that time also, we added support for Lime SDR, at that time using libuhd, so which means basically using a quite large stack of dependencies, because then you have LimeSuite, then Swappy SDR, then a plugin of Swappy SDR with UHD, then UHD, and then on top Osmotio Rix. Anyway, at that time, when we had more or less working tests with Osmos GSM Tester, we decided to make a new release. We are talking about 1 year ago. Then we continued development over next 6 months, more or less. The summary, actually lots of cleanup and unit testing support. So the situation was when Osmotio Rix was first made, as I think Harald commented before in his first talk, it was actually taken from OpenBTS transceiver, and then the Git repository was created with lots of stuff coming from there, which we actually don't need in Osmo TRX or OsmoCom programs in general. So lots of OpenBTS features, which were still laying in the code, but really not being used. So we I really had to get rid of that before being able to put OsmoCom related code there. Like I had to, if I wanted to add, for instance, logging system, I first had to clean up all the mess that we don't need in order to be easy to put logging system there. Some other issues actually we found. It's the build system also, it was inherited from this OpenBTS project, and it was not really in a good shape at that time. So most fixes on the build system were made here, but actually it was there were fixes in that aspect in all releases. Yeah, we were continuously seeing some failures in different systems, so we tried to improve that, so to make sure everybody could build it successfully. And with that also, we wanted, related to testing, unit testing, I actually moved some of the tests and make them actually running, so in Gerrit, because basically we had some tests which were could be run, but no one was running them, so they were let's say not used at all, and those not useful. At that time, then we thought it was a good idea to test it in different architectures, because Osmo TRX, in case you don't know, has some code which is specific to different architectures, basically to optimize. And yeah, since nobody maybe was using some of this code, it was not being tested. So the idea here was to, in Gerrit, when we ran all these tests, when somebody changes something, we wanted to be able to run it in different architectures. And that's why I started some infrastructure to be able to run it in ARM, because usually it runs in x86. And for that, I started setting up some setup with Qemu and pRoot and the Bootstrap. And it worked fine for a while, but actually I had to disable it at some point, because pRoot stopped working at some kernel upgrade. And I think it hasn't been fixed yet, so that's one of the pending things, actually, to go back in there and try to find another solution for that. Yeah, at that time also, there was a support added for another device, Etus B200 5 Mini. I think it was basically missing one line in some array, but that was really welcome. And you might, if you look at Git history, actually, you may find that the tag for this release is actually not in master. It's in a side branch, because we actually decided to make this release after we added more commits, which was already changing lots of stuff. And that's because on next release, actually, lib Osmo core dependency was added. So before breaking lots of stuff, we decided to after breaking lots of stuff, we decided to make a release before that. So yeah, the summary is osmofication, as I call it. So we added lib Osmo core with all related use cases we know. So main loops, signals, talog, VTY, control, logging, etc. At that point, as we added VTY support, I implemented also all these command lines, which were usually passed through command line arguments. They were now passed through VTY. But we decided to keep the old one just for people to be able to continue running in the same way. At this point, though, and it's actually the same till nowadays, you can still pass command line arguments, but they are actually being overwrite by the VTY, so you can still use them, but if you put something different in the VTY ones will override them. And the idea is that at some point we are going to remove most of them, so only VTY should be used. One more, more auto tools fixes, as I said. And then something I wanted to work on also, because as if you remember, I told you we wanted to add more device support for different libraries, let's say. I realized I had to move or refactor some code to have all this device-specific stuff into some place in code, because before that, it was actually spread over different layers of code, so it was a bit difficult to add new backends. So most of the work done in this release was also about moving all this device-specific code into an already existing class, which was called Radio Device. Which is it's an abstract class which is then implemented by each of the different backends like UHD or Lime SDR, for instance, or with Lime Suite, or USRP one with libUSRP. At that time, we also had some fixes for some TRX control protocol. So again, thanks to Osmosis and Tester, we realized that sometimes there were some race conditions between in the talk between Osmo BTS TRX and Osmo TRX, so that also got more robust, and we enabled, well, we added the option to enable sanitize address sanitizer, which helped us a lot in other projects, Osmocom projects, to find different heap user after free or memory leaks or whatever. However, we ran it for a while in Osmosis and Tester, but we found actually it affects really, really, really hard performance in Osmo TRX. That's why, if you are developing, I really encourage you to enable address sanitizer through this configure flag, enable sanitize. I don't recommend doing that for Osmo TRX because at least in my experience, it was really painful. What I do though, it's I enable it for lib Osmo Core, and not for Osmo TRX, and actually that works quite well, and it allowed me to find some leaks, which I didn't fix yet, but hopefully at some point I'll fix them. But at least I know they are there. One more, something important in that release. Basically, we split Osmo TRX into different binaries, one for each backend. So nowadays, you may have found that actually when you run Osmo TRX, you don't run Osmo TRX binary anymore. You have Osmo TRX UHD or Osmo TRX LMS or Osmo TRX USRP1. And that was on this version, which is actually the last version, which was released. And the good point about this too is that since that point, we build test all of this different code in when we build it in Gerrit or in Jenkins or OBS. And that's pretty important because that means that before this change, actually, we were only building UHD device support, which means I had to actually fix USRP1 device backend because nobody was actually using or testing it. So at least right now, everything should always build fine. So, as I said, that's the latest version which was released. I'll talk later about what was added afterwards, which is not released. I'll go now through different, to show the current status on how to set up Osmo TRX after all these changes, so with the latest release. As you can see here, we have a sample configuration file. I think if you are used to Osmocom configuration files, there's not much I must say about it. But basically, as you can see, we have a TRX node, and then we define some of the configuration options. So if you are used to running Osmo TRX with command line arguments, it shouldn't really impress you. But it's really more clean now. And we can more easily state things that we couldn't state before when we had only command line arguments, like for instance, you see this chan zero, and then you can specify for this chan zero, so for this specific channel, you can specify options, and then if you had a second channel, because you want to have another TRX, so basically you'd have a chan one, and then you could specify options for it, which we couldn't do it, we couldn't do that before. And then after all these changes, adding a new device backend is a lot more easier. I'm not saying it's a 5 minutes job, but at least it's more, you don't need to look all over the code of all Osmotic rigs to understand perfectly what's going on, at least in first stages. So what you need to do to add a new device, as I said, everything now device specific is dependent on radio device class. You can see you have the H header in there in that path. So basically what you want to do is add a new class under transceiver 52M. Why transceiver 52M? That's for historical reasons from OpenBTS transceiver, I guess. No clue why, but it's called like that. 52 megahertz, say it here, so there we go. We learned something today, that's good. So basically you have to add this new file under the device subdirectory, which implements a subclass of radio device. And then you add all the auto build or auto conf stuff into make files and blah, blah, blah. Just basically copy paste what you see for other devices and put a new name there. That's what everybody does, right, with auto tools, just copy paste and change stuff. So, as I said, that's what we currently support right now, USD, LimeSuite, and libUSRP. If somebody wants to add any other backend, he's welcome to do so. So some other things that I said I improved in this case, basically how to build different architecture improvements for different architecture instruction sets. Again, you can see really a lot of similarities from devices, but in this case, it's in the Arch directory instead of the device directory. In Arch Common, actually, you can find a generic implementation of all these functions, let's say highly optimized functions, which can be built for each architecture. And yeah, in the common directory, you have a C implementation of them. Actually, I think in the other ones, mostly they are in C, but probably using some instructions from specific architecture sets. Again, just add a new architecture with implementing those functions in the Arch directory. And actually, you have to implement, or you can implement from those kind of operations, so from the convolve and the convert headers, and again, copy paste all the configure and make file foobar. At the end, you can see actually a list of different instruction sets for which optimized instruction or algorithms are implemented right now. So, we talked about what's the status right now regarding code, and since last release. So now we are talking about what's in current master and what's going to be for future release, which is hopefully going to happen really soon once we fix some small issues we have in some places in Osmocom. And then I'll make a new release of mostly everything. So hopefully next week. What was done? We added sample config for UMT rigs. So it's UMT rigs from Fairwaves, I think. They actually use UHD, so it works mostly out of the box. I think you just need to install some UHD plugin from them, and then it works. We wanted to add some configuration files because I think you require to add some specific device arguments when calling UHD code. So it's just actually one line extra in that configuration file. And I think during last Osmo Def Con, I tested one of those devices, and then I just submitted the config file so anybody can actually use it. We did some fixes. I and other people spotted in initial VTWide code that was written in last revision. So If you are not using master but latest release, if you see strange things or some options not being applied correctly, it may be due to some typos which were introduced, or if you save the file and then you try to read it and it fails, it may be because some white space was not correctly written to the file. This kind of stuff, it should be fixed in master now. Some of the other stuff I fixed actually recently, it's related to how OsmoTRX process is stopped when the device file fails working for some reason, because it's unplugged, for instance. Well, one thing which is different in OsmoTRX to other OsmoCon projects is basically the fact that OsmoTRX has lots of threads. So it's highly multi-thread. It can have up to, I don't know, 8 or 10 threads. And sometimes it's a bit cumbersome to have everything working together, specifically if you want to stop them in a correct way. So that was really improved in latest master. So you should see more friendly shutdown process right now. In exchange, it may take a few seconds until you press Control-C to see it stop, but it works. Some more features I added recently, it's the possibility to name threads. So that's one, one feature from pthreads. It allows you to actually set names on threads, which is useful if you are operating or debugging OsmoTRX or any highly multi-threaded process. Just by calling pthread set name or whatever, you can add a name to this process, and this is shown in, if you use GDB, for instance, to debug the application, or by looking at /proc, you can also get some information, which is nice if you try to find out, for instance, which thread is taking 100% of the CPU, so just to understand better which is the part you should optimize, for instance. Because when you have like 10 threads, it's a bit difficult to find out. So, some more stuff was added. Enable W error was added, which means that all the compilation warnings were fixed, which is also good because that means we are enabling this flag in Jenkins. No more warnings. That's good. And then recently, some auto tools were added, some auto tools commands to install systemd and config files, like we did for most OsmoCon projects. So you should see now, when you do make install, you should see config files and systemd config service files installed. So after all, what's the current status? So we have finally a user manual. It's available together with all the other OsmoCon user manuals. What you can find in there, you can find stuff like the thread architecture in case you want to understand better how it works. You can find some features being explained like multi-RFCN, and you can find information on how to operate OsmoTRX with what some of the commands done and this kind of stuff. Which I think it's really useful if somebody never played with OsmoTRX before and wants to understand, or especially if he wants to add some support or fix some stuff. As I mentioned already, there's this bug with pthread which doesn't allow us to run correctly the test for ARM when we run it in Jenkins or in Garrett when new patches are added. There's some other issues which need clarification. So it seems some tests we have testing different output of this architecture optimized code actually give slightly or not slightly different results depending on the architecture you run them. So these tests were disabled so far because we know they are. I don't know if actually they are broken or if there's a good solution. I can expect in some some different architectures. Some of these calculations are a bit different, but I think some of them are quite different. So yeah, we must look at it. Well, we have a control interface, which is present, but no commands yet. Yeah, that's it. What's more? Yeah, we have, for Lime SDR, we still need to do some stuff, like we need to add multi-tiering support, which was not tested yet. So actually, I don't think it's not working. And it's unstable on some hosts now. Yeah, we have currently an issue with a multi-RFCN in Netus B200 with UHD. We need to check up how is it going. So some of the next steps, as I said, we need to deprecate command line arguments. We need to test Osmotrix LMS in OsmosGSM tester. Actually, it's almost done. We need to fix some of the issues with Osmotrix LMS, which is not seems not to be giving good signal. We need to add support also to test Osmotrix UHD for UMTRX in OsmosGSM tester. I think the hardware is already set. I just need to add some support to run it software-wise. Probably also for USRP1. And then, as I said, yeah, there's some issues with Lime SDR which need to be improved. Yeah, there's also an ongoing discussion whether we should add some options to OsmoTRX to be able to set it to send all frames, even if they are empty, in order to not lose frames or to avoid not acknowledging them, let's say. And that's it. So if you have any question?
Not so much a question, but maybe a comment. First of all, thank you for a description of how to add new devices. That was really helpful. So we have right now we have a fork which adds Xtrix support. That's a new Fabric SDR. We will try to move to the new architecture. So it was really helpful, and we will try to submit patches for the new architecture. One other comment I had is, could you move a few slides back, please?
How many?
Here. So, properly stop Osmotrix when device fails. I did some work, like a couple of years ago, and it still exists in a branch called stable threads. I can explain that later, but basically, there were also issues not only on stopping threads, but on starting threads, because the way the threads are started right now is not completely deterministic, and some threads can start earlier than other threads. I basically added some mutexes or semaphores to basically synchronize thread start and thread stop, so you can actually do this completely deterministically. Mm-hmm. The code won't apply immediately. It's like quite bit rotten, but it can be ported if someone wants to do this. It was really improving stability and actually allowed to start and stop Osmotrix with no crashes, like very stable back then.
I'll have a look at them just to see.
Yeah, I can show you the code, yeah, and sure. I can walk you through like what exactly it does. I mean, it's not difficult, but I can help understand what it does. If you go one slide further.
Closer.
Stop. One second. I had one more question, but I forgot. I'll see later.
Yep.
Actually, another interesting thing I would like to mention is that the Osmotrix actually does the noise measurements, but for some reason, we don't forward them to the Osmo BTS TRX and so on. And such measurements could be also useful, so I think we could also put this task in our to-do list Yeah.
Is there a task for that in Redmine?
I'm not sure, but makes sense to create.
Good.
So I think we have to first look into this, because I remember we discussed this extensively with Thomas a few years back, and basically the conclusion was that this noise measurement is not exactly correct, and B, right now, if I remember correctly, it is basically that this noise measurement requires an empty empty TDMA slot, and right now there is the way Osmoteryx handles physical basically uplink time slots, it does not know which time slot is empty. So the code is there, but it never triggered. So,
so
yeah, but so yeah, basically, there's like two things, you know, which needs to be done. We need to teach Osmoteryx how to properly understand which time slots are empty, and this basically relates to it needs to know which time slots are occupied by rec bursts, which can be occupied by rec bursts, and which can't be occupied by rec bursts, because I mean. TCH traffic channels are easy. I mean, it's either there or not, right? But rec bursts, they can come in or not. So that's one thing. And secondly, yeah, we need to check that it's actually calculating it correctly. And I think the conclusion. Okay. Anyway, we'll discuss this later.